Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's a good day to praise the Lord. He's a good God. He's a good, good Father. He's for us, not against us. He has provided for us. What a good Father. Thanks, Lord, so much. Thank you so much for this opportunity to learn from your word and to see your heart as it relates to healing. Your desire to see us well, whole. Your provision that has already paid for it. Thanks, Lord, that this will become even clearer to us today as you instruct us and teach us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding and directing us, leading us into all truth as it relates to healing, receiving healing, walking in divine health, ministering healing to others. Thank you. Lord, we commit to receive today from your word. We thank you. Amen. 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 I'm going to come a little closer. We're going to interact this morning. This morning's the title of this class is See, Then See. See, S-E-E, then see, S-E-E. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of you are veterans to healing school, veterans to healing. So what comes in your mind when we're talking about see, then see? What's the thought that you have there? What do you think we're going to be discussing?
Seeing it before it actually manifests in your body, receiving it with an expectation.
Yeah, seeing it before you see it physically. So we're going to be talking about two different areas, physically seeing, but there's a way to see something that's not in the physical yet. So we're going to be looking at that from God's word. And that's really key to understanding that there's two realms. When we're talking about seeing, there's two realms. And the word of God has a lot to say about these two realms. And it starts right off with in Genesis, actually, Genesis 1:1. Does anybody can quote that?
In the beginning, God created.
In the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's a commentary on that in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3, the Lord gives a commentary on that creation. I just finished teaching a creation series, and so this is really near and dear to me. But one of the things that those who are opposed to creation have to struggle with is how did something come from nothing? They have to have all these intricate explanations to try to explain how something came from nothing. But the answer is in the Word. And really, Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The things that were seen, it wasn't made out of nothing. They were created from a spiritual world. God spoke, and these were created out of a spiritual world. There's another translation. It says, "God spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen." Things were created from things that we can't see, that we can't perceive with our senses. So it sets the framework here for two realms, two worlds, two areas that we're talking about here. And we have to be mindful of these two areas, especially when it comes to the area of healing. So that otherwise we can get into a contradiction. I don't see it. I don't see it manifest. I don't see it in the physical. My senses are telling me something different than what the word is. So we have to understand that there's two realms. And what connects you to this physical realm? What? How do you interact?
Your body.
Senses. Your senses. Your senses are the tools that you use to interact with this physical world. You touch it, you see it, you hear, you smell, taste. Those are the ways we interact. Now, are any of those senses enough to connect with the spiritual realm? None. They are not. They're not. It's not that anything's wrong with the physical senses. It's that they were never designed for that. And that's where the world, and we learn this in creation, the scientific world, they've adopted a position of naturalistic thinking. In other words, they say they will only accept as truth, as reality, anything that the senses can perceive. That's it. That's the limit of what is truth to them. Nothing else can be entered in as being evidence, as being scientific. That's a scientific community. If it's not naturalistic, then it's not science. They'll go so far as to say with creationists that that's pseudoscience because they're introducing a God. But we've already seen they can't explain how creation exists, I mean how this world exists without a creator. It defies the laws of science. And yet they won't accept that. Now we can laugh at that, but we're also in the same position that if we adopt a position of thinking just carnally, I mean, is thinking just according to our senses, if we limit ourselves by just thinking by our senses, then we're really in the same boat. When we're talking about just accepting something because it agrees with our senses, we call that carnal thinking. Carnal not necessarily being sin. Sin is carnal, but carnal means limited to the senses. And Bible scholars, what's the Word of God say about carnal thinking? Carnal mindedness.
It's death.
To be carnal. Yeah, it's death. Carnally minded is death. Natural thinking is death. It also talks in, I think it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, talking about the natural man cannot receive the things of the Lord, the things of the Holy Spirit. Cannot receive.
Blinded.
Yeah, and it's not going to, now all, anybody who's not saved, not accepted the Lord, not a child of God, that's their whole realm. Your whole realm is natural. But we can fall into the same pattern if we limit ourselves to just those things that we can sense. If we limit ourselves to that, we have to understand, we have to see, we have to recognize that there is another world, that there is more than what our sense realm can, even has the ability to communicate to us. And we have to be able to be confident enough in this to say, I'm stepping out and reaching into that spirit world to see what the truth is there. Does the sense realm, what you see, is it a lie? What is it?
It's fact.
It's fact. Yeah, your senses give you facts.
It's a manifestation. Yeah. Came from something that we
yeah.
cannot see.
Yeah. So when I touch this, it's a fact that exists in this physical world. But there's more than what we can sense. So it's not that it's bad. It's just that if we limit, then we limit God. We limit what we can receive. We can't receive just by walking in a natural. We have to be able to see into the spirit. Now, I wanted to read an example, or talk about an example here, that Jesus did this. There are examples in Scripture that shows us how Jesus did this. If you remember the five loaves and two fishes, the multiplication of the five loaves and two fishes, that's described in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of those writers describe that incident. And one of the things that they all use the terminology is said when Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He says, looking up to heaven, or he looked up to heaven. And that word, looked up, that word that's translated looked up in the Greek is anablepo. And what that word, it's used 26 times in the New Testament. And most of the time, 15 of those times, it's translated receive sight. It's used in the terms of a blind man receiving sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Or Jesus saying, receive your sight. So it has to do with seeing. So when it says in this passage, in this occurrence here, in all three of those Gospels, he looked up into heaven. It's more than he just raised his head to the sky. It's not talking about a tilting of the head toward the sky. It's talking about receiving sight from heaven into a spiritual realm. He is seeing into a heavenly realm. He is seeing into the spiritual there. Here he has a choice. He has in his hands, he has before him 5 loaves and 2 fish. These are the facts. If he's looking only at the facts, it's insufficient. Yes. It's not even close to meeting the need of 5,000. But he didn't stop there. He looked into heaven, and then he said he blessed it. He blessed it. He gave thanks for his provider. So it's just, so he had a choice to accept circumstances or accept what he saw in the spirit realm. Now, has anybody had to do something like that in the area of healing where you had circumstances? All the time? Is that what you said? All the time? Yeah. All right. So we're in the same, it was some similar situation when it comes to healing. Even though this one's talking about provision, we're all talking about the same thing. We're talking about, here's our circumstances that are telling you one thing, and yet you have to be able to see, in spite of those circumstances, a truth that is more real, if we want to say, that is a reality that supersedes the circumstances. All right? Now, those that have walked through this or had to deal with some of that, were there any challenges? Like what?
Persistent pain.
Pain? Yeah.
The symptoms.
The symptoms. Yeah. You're dealing with symptoms. You're dealing with pains. You're dealing with your body telling you something.
Your mind trying to contradict.
Your mind. Yeah. That's where it's all feeding back to. The pain is feeding back to your mind. Right? The symptoms are something that you observe with your mind. There's a struggle, there's a challenge here going on in your mind. And that goes back to what we said earlier on when we talked about Romans. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So just like Jesus showed us by his example here, the same thing that we can deal with circumstances, or we can stay in that. If we stay just with circumstances, it's death. And that's the world's way, because they have no other way to go to. Their way is to stay in the circumstances, stay in the physical. And that's a death certificate. It really is. If you only accept that because it's so limited, there is so much more, but you can't reach it there. You can't receive it there. I want to show another example with Jesus. He was ministering to a deaf man. This is recorded over in Mark chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 34. And they brought a deaf man to him, and they had a speech impediment. And then in this he uses the same terminology. He said, then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Here again, he has, in this situation, he's ministering healing. And this is real key for those of us that, as we minister healing to others, part of our class here is to receive healing, walk in divine health, and minister to others. And here we have an example of Jesus doing this, looking into the heavenly realm as he's ministering. Here's what's coming before him is deafness, and an impediment of speech. And so he looks into heaven. At the same time, he's got symptoms in front of him. He's got circumstances in front of him. He's got sickness. He's got an infirmity. Facts at him. And looking into heaven, he sighed. Now, I saw some commentaries that talked about that he sighed, like groaned in the spirit. But the connection is, he sighed, then he spoke. He got direction. He saw from the heaven what the truth was. And then he spoke that by the Spirit. Be open. And you noticed it was a command. It was a command based on what he saw. So those of you that have had to deal with that, when we talked just a little bit ago about dealing with the physical symptoms, did you overcome?
Yes.
How? How did you overcome?
Consistency. Standing on the word, and, let me give an example.
Yeah.
I had a situation once, and I was believing God for healing.
Yeah, it's on. Go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead.
I was believing God for healing. And as I stand to pray, my mind kept, the thoughts kept bombarding my brain. I took an exercise book, I started writing. I said, "Dear God, ignore my mind." it was funny, but I had to do something physical, to kind of walk against the thought in my mind, but kept that word of God in my mouth. I memorized it. I kept speaking it over and over and over again. And sometimes I speak it louder to drown the thoughts in my mind, And one morning I woke up and it was gone.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, you noticed, when you were speaking it and speaking the word and speaking the word, I noticed you said how to control the mind. Because your mind has to deal, your mind is used to dealing in this physical realm. So it's used to dealing with natural situations. And so it wants to give its input based on what it knows from the natural side.
But
even when you don't want it to. That's right. Because it's trained that way. It is trained that way to look at the natural and flow in the natural and accept the natural as, well, that's the final authority. But you have to discipline it like you did. And regardless what it takes, I'm going to do it to discipline, to subjugate that physical mind, that natural mind. Because you have, in one sense, you have two minds. You have their natural mind, but the word says we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ allows us to see into the spiritual realm. It allows us to see what the promises of God. It allows us to see that. But we still have the choice to who we give. Mm-hmm, exactly. What are we going to believe? And that's where he said, when we choose like this, but the choice isn't necessarily easy. The saying of it is simple. Choose to be spiritually minded.
Amen.
But the disciplining of your mind, the battle is what we're talking about. The battle of the mind here. It's putting down that carnal thinking. And in the midst of. Now, when you were speaking the word, was it to make the healing happen?
No.
No?
I already knew I was healed.
You knew you were healed.
I already knew I was healed. So I was rejecting.
Right. Because
contrary opinion.
Yes, and that's important because that's one of the things. There are some things that when we see that we need to see as far about what's seen, we have to see it as a done deal. We have to see it as already completed. Part of seeing is not seeing that it's going to happen sometime in the future. It's seeing, wait a minute. The truth is, it's already been completed. And to be able to see that it is a finished work, that it is a reality, that healing is done. And so when we're speaking, like you were saying, I'm confessing the word, I'm telling the word to my mind, this is the truth. Not to make something happen. We're not doing it, okay, I'm making these confessions, and if I confess this long enough, then it will come to pass. Russ.
So when it says to speak to the mountain, we're actually speaking to the mountain of our mind.
In a very real sense, that is one way. I mean, that's where the battle is, if we're looking at battles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the battle. It said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, physical, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that lifts us up against the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. Taking all the thoughts into captivity. Yeah, so it's really, when it's describing the battle, when it's describing the speaking to it, you are speaking to your body too, you are speaking to it, telling it what the word of God says. You are, and you're doing it in a commanding way. Based on what you see as a truth, you are executing your authority to speak that truth based on that. So, yeah, that's where you're speaking to your mind. I mean, you're speaking and taking control over that mind. Speak to that mountain. In one sense, you could see, yeah, we're speaking to that mountain. Now, it goes beyond that, but that's a very real, when we're talking about the battle and we're talking about speaking, that's a very real thing. It's interesting on that one. Are you all familiar with Kenneth Hagin? Because on his background, his story back in the 30s, when he was a teenager, he was on a deathbed. He was paralyzed. He was on a deathbed. And in his testimony, he said he used to see himself dying. He used to see himself, his funeral. He used to see and the people there mourning. And he used to see the casket being carried out. And he used to see himself buried. And he used to see the seasons change over the grave. He saw himself. This was what it like a constantly seeing, until he saw in the Word. And Mark 11, 23 and 24 was one of the things that really became foundational to him. And he saw in the Word that healing was provided in the atonement, that healing was part of his. And he made a step then to receive healing. And it was a struggle. It was a fight. It was a battle. But he changed what he saw. He saw himself well when he saw the truth of the word, not based on what his body told him. We're not doing based on what our body says, but we're saying based on the truth, the fact, the spiritual reality, the reality of what the word of God says, of what's already been accomplished, what's already finished. But there's where the battle is, and that was when it became very foundational scripture for him, that speaking to the mountain. And he had to stand and he had to walk this out. But the manifestation followed the sight, what he saw. And then he put that into action. Go ahead.
I want to add on to that, you want to kind of watch your wording. You want to watch your wording in that you're commanding in a way from the inside out. If it's already been done, it's in your spirit, and like when he asked if FOMA, were you speaking it to make it happen? You want to watch, like, you're not commanding healing to come in.
Mm-hmm.
From here, it's manifesting from the inside, manifesting from your spirit. This past week, because I had hurt my back, and, you know, Pastor had me up on the platform. He was praying for my back. I had picked up a box and had it too far from my center of gravity, and I heard a pop, and I had hurt my back pretty bad. After he prayed for me, there was a lot of relief. There was still some hindrances, and if you notice, he came down again and did a second prayer, and it just broke that resistance. And I was experiencing a lot of relief, but what happened during the week is very subtly my thoughts were being drawn into, because of the pain, the persistent pain, is like, I'm healed, and it kind of like, I'm healed, it was directing my thoughts like trying to reach it out here until my daughter said, Mom, remember, it's already been done, you already are healed. That's right, I'm the healed.
Amen.
I am the healed, he's trying to make sick, trying to keep the pain on. This has the manifest from the inside. I am releasing it from the inside. So you kind of have to watch sometimes you don't get tripped up when you're commanding healing, like you're trying to command it to come in. You're not commanding it to come in, you're commanding it to manifest. It's already been done inside that truth. And I saw relief because it was very slow and insidious, but he was just kind of eroding my thinking. So you have to watch. Sometimes we think that it's going to be so obvious, but it's that slow erosion,
yeah.
Especially if it's long-term and you're identifying with it. You want to get the revelation. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the revelation. You are the healed, and you are going to manifest this that's been deposited in you, no matter what the symptoms are, no matter what you feel. That's who I am, and it's going to manifest. And you'll see a difference because you're speaking it out. Okay? You're not having to call it in.
Right, but it's also, like he was saying, there's a whole other realm of the invisible, supernatural, heavenly that you get it from, too. Like looking at, like Jesus looked up into heaven and saw it as the truth of what God wants for us.
That's your spirit part.
You know, when
you
do that
thing,
like, you know,
yeah.
Right?
Where did it all go?
But, yeah. But he's in you, right?
Right.
But he's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. Jesus is in you. God's in you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that all that realm is in you.
So the realm is
it's really in you.
Okay. That's
so you really.
Yeah, that's
but,
kind of thing. The realm is like
out there.
But it's really not. It's in you.
It's in you. Yeah, it's really in you. That whole power that
okay.
he created, that whole.
Shit.
So. Yeah.
Can I tag on to
yeah.
that? Because I keep going back to John 3:3, where Jesus says, unless you are born again, a man is born again, we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom
oh,
of
yeah.
heaven. And we're born again, it means we're born from above. So we're receiving that realm of heaven. That's where we've received our born again experience. We're made new. We become a brand new creation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're born again. From above, like Jesus looked up into the heavens, he looked up and he received that realm. Unless we're born again, we can't see it. We can't experience it. The kingdom of heaven, it already is within us because
mm-hmm.
we're born again.
Yes.
That's where it happens. It's inside of us. So we already possess it. And it's we can experience it. We have already at hand all of the provision of
yeah.
the realm of the kingdom
yeah.
because we're born again.
Yep.
It's inside of us already. Mm-hmm. So it, and I know it's easy sometimes we want to reach up and we want to grab what's in heaven and bring it down. But in reality, if we listen, he's going to speak it to us anyways, and it is just speaking what the word already says, because like you said, we're already healed. It's mm-hmm. already done. Jesus, was sure, he was sacrificed as the lamb 2,000 years ago, but in reality, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So it already was. We just seen maybe the manifestation of it in this earth time. And that's the area that our mind gets caught up, is this earth realm, this earth time, where we have to look into that eternal realm. That's how we get born again. We're receiving it already. Born from above.
Born from above. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I like what you said there as far as unless you are born again, you can't see.
You can't see,
you can't see it. So this is foolishness. To the natural man, and the Bible tells us that
mm-hmm.
to a natural way of thinking, it's foolishness because it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit with the senses.
Well, it's like Thomas.
Yeah.
Unless I see
right
the nail prints in his hand and put my hand into his side, I won't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord Jesus said to him, Thomas, you had to see to believe. But blessed are those that even though they have not seen, yet they believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you believe before, you see before you see.
Yeah, you see before you see.
Yeah,
it's a progression. You see, and then it follows that you see. So see, then see.
Addressing the question that our brother asked earlier on, which you really handle well, I see a two-stage process. I speak to my mountain. The Bible says, when I pray, believe that I receive, then I shall see. So there are two stages. If this is the first time I'm praying about it, I speak. Then I have to believe at the moment I speak to the mountain, be thou removed, that I have received it, because God is not a liar. If he said, I will receive it, then I receive it the moment I pray. The battle of the mind then starts after that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, to say, are you sure? Did you pray well?
Mm-hmm.
Are you holy enough?
After the amen.
After the amen. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's when the battle of the mind starts. You know, but the same way, you know, I love what he says in Colossians. He said, how we believe, that's how we continue. The same way we got born again, the same way we receive, the same way we continue, the same way we prayed and believe and receive, the same way we stand to see it manifest. Tenaciously, not looking back. God said it, it's true. What God, Jesus Christ did for me will not be in vain. He already paid for it, so it's said that you're not taking it from me. That's always my attitude.
It's so easy to get born again.
Yeah.
Because it's something that you don't see. Mm-hmm. You're not experiencing it. Yes. It happens deep inside.
But
you can't see your spirit being renewed.
And yet you believe that it
happened. But yet you believe that it happened.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yet when
it's your
sickness,
only option.
Yeah.
Salvation, it's not like you're expecting your third arm to fall off visible. You know this is a spiritual event.
Yeah.
And you're never going to see it with your eyes. So if you're going to get saved, you receive it by faith that, okay.
That's good, though, to think of your physical healing as a spiritual event.
Yes.
Because that's what it is.
It is, because that's where it happens.
Yeah, it's part of the atonement.
Yeah,
and that's another thing that we need to see.
See
it accomplished as part of the atonement.
Right.
And then when you, as you see that, and you see that based on what?
Faith.
And the Word of God. Yeah, because in it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's verse 7. It says, yeah, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So we walk by faith. Faith is our ability. This is how we see. Faith is seeing.
Sixth sense.
Yeah, it's like a sixth sense. It's like it's in that terminology, it allows us to see. This is how we see into the spiritual realm. This is how we see what has been provided. By faith, we accepted the Lord. By his faith, we accepted that, he paid the price for my salvation. That's how we received it, by faith. So when we say by faith, so we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we receive it. Now, faith, there's a definition over in Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to read that out of the Amplified because it really expounds on that. So the Amplified, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So faith is how we see. We see by faith. And it's just, and that's why some people say, I just believe by faith. Faith in what? You said, I just believe in faith. I just believe in faith. Well, they may not be believing at all. Maybe they're just, but there's a direction of your faith. I'm believing based on what the Word of God says. And how do you know when you're believing and not just mentally assenting to it? Any thoughts? Russ?
For me, whether or not my faith is really active is usually judged by expectancy, which is a word God gave me one day. He said, "What are you expecting?" Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't that I didn't believe and didn't have faith, but for whatever reason, apparently I wasn't paying attention or something, and which isn't surprising.
Yeah, so...
Without expectancy, I guess you could say I was muffling my faith or dampening it down, the activity level of it.
Yeah, so if we said, and that's good, because if we said in the natural that you saw something, you saw a building on fire, and you were on the inside of it, you would probably take some action. You would probably do something. You would probably, there'd be some corresponding action with it. So there's an expectancy associated with, there's some kind of action that accompanies. There's an expectancy, or you're seeing something in the Word. You ever have something you're just reading in the Word, all of a sudden go, oh, I see it. All right, that was a revelation of the Word of God to your heart. This became real to you. There's an excitement. And in the area of healing, like you say, when you see the truth of the Word, that it's already accomplished, and you see that in there about whatever area that you're speaking to or praying about or talking to your body about, when you see that, there's an expectancy then. I'm expecting to this manifestation. I'm excited about it. Oh, I'm rejoicing. I'm thankful. All those, if it's a reality to you, well then if it's a reality of a gift that you received, you'd be thankful. You'd be excited. Somebody said, "Hey, I got something for you." Oh, I'm expecting it then. So as you're seeing that Word, and by faith, grabbing and catching hold and seeing the truth, then there's that expectancy, there's that rejoicing, there's that excitement.
There's an action.
There's a difference there, because now your mind may still try to get you to look back at look at the circumstances, look at the physical, look at the symptoms. But if the Word, if what you see in the spiritual, what you see in the truth of God's Word is so overpowering, is so consuming, is so overwhelming, is so much occupying your mind, you've now subjected your natural mind. If your natural mind is taking authority, is taking preeminence, then we have this double-mindedness thing going on. And it's, okay, but my circumstances are saying this now. My symptoms are saying this now. Well, maybe. Let's get back to what the Word says. This is what the Word says. And it is, like Pat said, it's subtle. It's subtle. I remember leaving here about a year ago after work. We were doing some work on the building, and I started heading down 94. And all these symptoms hit me. It was like almost like flu, or I was getting really tired, and my stomach and all stuff was really odd. It was just, it was late, so I'm thinking, the thought is, I'll go home, go to bed, just rest and get it in, and then something, don't give place, right? Give no place. I mean, if we're talking about a battle, right? If we're talking about battles, if you're in a physical battle, you say, well, we'll just give the enemy that piece. We'll just let him have that because we don't really want to fight. That's not that big a deal. We can give up that territory. No, if you're in a battle, you don't give the enemy any place. And so I started to, wait a minute, my mind's going down a path. And it was late and I was tired. So it was like my mind started going down a path. And the symptoms are starting. I said, wait a minute, no. And I started talking to my body. Bring my body back into line of what the Word of God says. I said, not in this body, not in this temple, sickness. You have no place. And so by the time I got to Dundee, heading back to Toledo, I was fine. I was fine. But I had to make a line there and say, no. The battle, there's a real battle in your mind, it'd be probably easier if we saw the enemy come in like, you know, with a pitchfork and a tail and say, ah, there's the enemy. But when it's subtle and it's just, all right, maybe it's a symptom that I can live with. I can tolerate. I can keep. I can get by. Don't get by. Don't just settle. This is good enough. Well, I can cope. A lot of the world system is how to cope. Okay, how to cope with this, how to cope with this, how to adjust for this. But God says,
don't give it place.
Don't give it place. Receive. I have so much. It's an abundance. It's so much in that atonement. So much has been provided for. Receive it. See it. And then see it. See it. So we're going to have a time for prayer, because that time went fast. No, this is actually what I wanted to do, because this class is really about interaction. It's sharpening. God is doing what He wants to do here in this class. God is bringing things out. This is not about giving a message. Go ahead.
I just want to share one more thing. Yeah, don't settle, because I knew from the get-go the enemy was going to try and have me settle for just enough pain I could tolerate and get busy with work and things like that and tolerate it. So I just wanted to share one thing that helped me in my healing for my back is one day I realized that I was in fear of the pain. And I was having difficulty moving, and there'd be pain. And how he helped me in this case, because, you know, going from the amen to the manifestation, there's going to be so much so many hindrances and different things that can happen. It's so important to just ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do right now in my next step? And what he showed me is to ask him, well, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? And Jesus is like, I want to get out of bed. I want to get out of bed without pain. I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do then, I guess. So let's sit up, you know, and our bed's a little high, so when I'd hopped off and I'd hit the floor, I could feel that pain just shoot up from my leg all the way up. And it's like, okay, Jesus wants to do this? All right, I'm going to be obedient. Jesus wants to get out of bed. And it was just steps like that. I got out of bed. Jesus wants to get on the floor without pain. Okay, Jesus, here we go. Pump. It's like, wow, no pain. So it's just very creative things that he will show you step by step, because what's in the spirit has to flow through this, through mm-hmm. the soul, so that it can manifest in the body. So he will help you step by step, thought by thought. You know, we talked about taking into captivity every thought. Take a thought, take a step. Every step you take is a step of faith. Every step. You take a step of faith, you take another thought, godly thought, you take another step of faith. Take it step by step, minute by minute, day by day. Just follow what he tells you to do. And have fun doing it.
Amen. Yeah, really. Really have fun. Be excited. Be excited. Be expecting. Be excited about, yes, yes, this is victorious. Regardless, laugh at your symptoms if you have to. Just say, no, I am the healed. I am the healed. Praise God.
We are not healed by walks. But not you by works. Do walks but, when you're healed.
Yes.
If you're healed, you demonstrate that you believe you're healing by taking some steps.
You take some steps. And like Pat said, you can get direction. Okay, what step? It's not like you're trying to, okay, I got to go do this step now in order to prove or get this. It's like, okay, what's my corresponding action? He will guide you how to walk this out. So praise God. God is so good. Hallelujah. Well, this was good for me. It was good for me. So praise God. So Thord, thank you so much. Thank you for this exciting time that went so fast. Thank you for what you showed, what you dropped into our spirit today, what you revealed to us about the truth and how we can stand and walk in that truth, how we can accept the truth, the reality of health, healing in our bodies. So we're taking that and not leaving it here. We're taking it with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We have prayer ministers. So when you're coming up, if you want to come up for prayer ministry, for agreement, be it expecting. Because they're going to release the reality of what's already been given to you. Amen. You are dismissed.